The Midwest Podcast Network now has a Patreon. Go to patreon.com/MidwestPodNet and support us for as little as a dollar a month.
Welcome to Horror Movie Yearbook. I'm your host, Willie Gibbs, and with me is my wonderful co-host, Mr. Tim Long.
Hey.
Mr. Married Tim Long.
Yeah, my last name
is still Long.
Say the same.
Your wife's last name is different.
It freaks me out every time I see it. Did it freak you out?
Well, she commented on something on Facebook that I posted or liked something, and I went, "Who the hell's that?" And I went, "Oh shit!" Like, okay.
Yeah, you and I have very short to the point last names, Gibbs and Long.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. And our significant others had longer last names.
Yeah.
So we've streamlined things. See, Nikki's maiden name is Cartier, so it was going to be a downgrade no matter what she went to. You know what I mean?
It's
too bad. But Gibbs is a fine last name. Yeah, strong last name.
Right.
So is Long.
Good strong. Hers was briny though, which means like salty.
Yeah.
And if you know my wife,
she'll be salty sometimes.
She can be very salty sometimes.
Well, you know.
I took her to Halloween too.
You took her to go see Halloween.
She's
not a huge horror movie. Well,
The Jason. She likes Friday the 13th. This is what she said during the first Halloween.
Yeah.
Because we watched that before. It was her first time seeing the first Halloween.
Okay.
I always love to introduce people. She said, "I like the older ones. It's like the newer." Like the newer ones that kind of freak her out. I think they might be too, modern in some ways.
Yeah, like I don't think she'd be nuts about like Hostel.
No,
but she's maybe into like a slasher.
I know which ones to show her.
Cool,
That's
good.
Yep,
that's good. Awesome. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Officially on the show.
Thank you.
If you want to send gifts to Tim, email us at horrormovieyearbook@gmail.com.
Please,
I'll let you know where to send them.
I just got married, so gifts of cash are very welcome.
Gifts of cash would be good.
Oh, Willie, thank you. You got me the movie.
Yes, we got you Pup Stars, Better Together, because you guys are better together.
I hope Avery remembers to take your wife as well.
That's right. You know, that's the least we could do.
We'll probably watch that.
Yeah.
In some way.
I said to Nikki, I go, "We're going to get him something else, right? We're not just getting him Pup Stars, right?"
Yeah.
So,
well, thank you.
But yeah, no. Well, here's my thought process, Tim. Folks out there that enjoy you as a host and as a gentleman and a scholar, could, you know, maybe send you like horror movies,
right?
Like Blu-rays and stuff, because you got a lot going on. You got some house projects coming up,
yeah,
right. And you got to focus on some things right now. Maybe you won't be spending as much money on Blu-rays, so they could send you some fun stuff.
Appreciate this. Should become a weekly.
Send stuff to Tim.
Or just beg for stuff.
Speaking of begging for stuff, you should check out our Patreon.
Oh man, that was quite a segue.
Yeah, right. What's the link for that?
Patreon.com/MidwestPodNet.
Yeah, no, for real though, Patreon's really cool. You know, we're not really begging, but if you'd like to chip in, that's awesome. We appreciate anything.
Yeah.
Discord's been very lively lately. You can get involved in our Discord through Patreon.
And with a lot of horror talk. I think a lot of people are getting into the season.
They're in the season, yeah. I've been posting trying to post once a day some sort of song related to a horror film, whether it's like a source music that was included, or I think my first one was Looking for the Magic, which was used very well in Your Next.
Yeah.
And then you posted...
I posted Oingo Boingo last night. No One Lives Forever, because it's from TCM2, I believe.
Yes.
And it's Danny Elfman's band.
Yes. Very cool.
And the song's awesome.
Very cool. Good song.
Yeah.
Dead Man's Party is also very good.
Yes.
And then I think I posted Lost in the Shadows, Lou Graham, Lost Boys.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah, so
that's good work.
We're working on a playlist.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, we'll put one together. Maybe we'll tweet out a couple of those, too.
And we are the only two people who have not watched Haunting at Hill House.
I know. Isn't that weird?
It's very funny.
I've got to watch it soon because it's dangerously getting close to that show where everybody says it's amazing, and I'm like, I don't want to watch it.
Then everybody is spoiling episode 6 right now.
It's all over the place.
Is it? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I haven't seen it, but it's like getting to that point where like they're interviewing Mike Flanagan about.
You
got to
be jumping
six.
On soon, or you're
So like sooner or later, like it's just going to become like I feel bad for the poor people who haven't seen Split at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I guess you kind of have to spoil it now, though.
What's that? Split? You have to, yeah.
Yeah, there's no choice.
We're only a couple months away.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, speaking of other places you can reach us and send us feedback, facebook.com/horrormovieyearbook. We're on Twitter at @HMYearbook. Or once again, the aforementioned email if you've got like ideas for the show, questions, comments, any of that jazz. Shoot that over to us. Also review us on iTunes, rate and review.
Yeah.
I haven't said that in a while, but it is really important. Mm-hmm. I know it takes a minute, but hey, you know, you don't have to leave us a crazy review. Just, you know, throw it out there. Make it a nice review if you can.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't like us, just don't listen to us.
Yeah.
Just stop. It's
yeah,
fine.
Like bitch to a friend or
it's
something.
It's cool.
Yeah.
Like I get it, but you know, but hopefully you enjoy this. Anyway, so we got a couple things we want to cover tonight. Obviously tonight's the big night. Right?
Yeah, we've been building to this, haven't we?
Building to this.
Yeah, we even took an extra week off to prepare.
We did. Well, you had a lot going on there. But yeah, we did. We were prepping. We were prepping our minds and our bodies and our souls. And we both saw, unfortunately not together, but we did see it. We had to talk about it now. We're actually saved most of our thoughts, I think, for this show, so it'll be fun.
Yeah.
We saw David Gordon Green's Halloween.
We did.
2018. So that'll be our kind of main attraction tonight. Yeah, but before that,
yes.
We've watched some other stuff, Tim.
We have watched some other stuff.
Some mutual viewings. Let's start with something that's a little bit horror adjacent.
Yeah.
Let's start with the Netflix exclusive, The Night Comes For Us.
Let's start with this bad boy.
Yeah, which is, it's my understanding, I mean, it's not directed by Gareth Edwards, or Gareth Evans.
Evans.
But, it's a lot of the folks that work behind the scenes on The Raid are involved in the production of this and in front of the camera.
Yeah.
Iko Uwais is in it. The lead in this film was also, I believe, in The Raid 2 as well.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of, if you're looking for The Raid 3, according to Gareth, it ain't happening. This is probably the closest you're going to get.
Okay.
And I think I described this movie on the Discord as The Raid by way of, like, Evil Dead 2 era Sam Raimi.
Yeah, that's
I don't think I'm that far off.
No, I don't think you're that far off either.
I kind of loved this movie. It's cool. Yeah. Here's the thing. I don't want to get too deep into it because I could see us talking about this again in the future. Because it is, there's enough horrifying stuff in this to where I feel like we could cover it.
Yeah, we
maybe.
Probably could.
I almost lump it in there with like an Assault on Precinct 13 where it's like that so close to like mm-hmm. being that genre. But anyway, it is, man. It's nasty.
This is one of the goriest new movies you've seen in a while.
Yes.
Yeah, I think so too.
But but it's badass gory. Like, there's some cool stuff happening. There's a bit with a window AC unit.
Oh God! Yeah.
It's one of the most insane things I've seen in movies in a long time. The fight choreography is fantastic. It's a little bit more rough and tumble than The Raid. It's not as acrobatic or as there's not as much finesse to it as The Raid, but I think that's the point.
Yeah,
it's supposed to be a little bit more nasty and brawly,
right?
But it's still the fight scenes are fantastically choreographed. There's some really cool use of weaponry in this that you don't get so much in The Raid films. The Raid's mostly hand to hand with some maybe blades. This you get a lot of crazy stuff. There's like killer yo-yos and all sorts of crazy stuff. I will want to say this. The last thing I want to mention is this movie sets up kind of a cool universe.
Yeah.
Utilizing real life things like the triads, the Chinese, you know, mafia basically. But they set up this kind of group of like elite soldiers and they all kind of have a gimmick and mm-hmm. they're all super cool. And you like watching all of them fight. The blonde with the kukri swords is super cool.
Yeah, she's really how do I not spoil that? Is my favorite fight in the movie, the three-way dance.
There's a fight between three women in the movie and it kicks so much ass.
It has the most badass moment in a movie when she there's a part with a finger.
Yes. Yes. And you know what I gotta say, they did like badass female characters pretty right in this movie.
Yeah.
I thought
yes. Yeah, maybe Mike, like maybe like one of those like Mike movies is probably a good example for this as well.
Yeah, it's
one of the ones I know, not one of the 9 million other ones he's made.
There were some John Wick elements in this too, to me.
That too. Yeah. I'm with you. This is like one of my favorite movies I've seen this year.
Right.
But yeah, it's really good.
It's awesome.
No, and it's good too. I will say as a ignorant American, I did need Wikipedia at times. Just help me.
Keep
track of plot. But that was mostly because I was cackling at the stabbings.
There's so many stabbings.
There's so much stabbing.
It's a lot.
Like more than most movies I've ever seen.
Yes.
Yeah. More than Olympus Has Fallen.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. That's what I've got as far as notes go. It's not as stylish as the Raid movies, but it's just really brutal. Estelle is the one woman's name.
The blonde woman?
Yeah. I don't know what else to say. Yeah.
Oasis is a star.
Yes.
He's not even the lead in this, but he's a star. He can act.
Yeah. He's good.
I want him to do things. And it bums me out a little bit because I feel like every once in a while... So obviously, when we're looking at Asian actors who are kind of come up in the martial arts genre,
yeah.
you look at Bruce Lee, right? That's kind of the first one I think of. And he really didn't have that, really reach that status until after he passed away, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously people knew who he was and he was very famous, but I don't think he reached that. I think he could have become a mainstream American movie star if, unfortunately, he hadn't passed away, right? I mean, to me... And I think the other two, Jet Li was there for a while where he was...
Jet Li had a good run.
He had a good run. And Jackie Chan.
Jackie Chan had a... Yeah, but Jackie Chan was weird because his best stuff kind of... I don't hate the Rush Hour movies.
No.
The Rush Hour movies were his crossover stuff here.
Right.
And that's what made him a big name. But those aren't my favorite Jackie Chan movies.
No. I don't think they're anybody's really...
They're not his.
No.
He liked, as far as his American ones, he liked the Shanghai Nights and Noon movies better. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fun. But, you know, I feel like we've had a couple of, I don't want to say false starts, but, Tony Jaa, I feel like, was on the cusp of being that next star like that, and it just didn't...
Well, then he, didn't he, I don't want to say he lost his mind, because that's not the proper way.
There were some
way,
issues,
but,
I think.
He, went away for a while to, go into the woods and become, a monk or something.
Yeah. And then Donnie Yen's another one where,
Donnie Yen,
he's a kind of a martial arts actor, or actor who got a start in martial arts films who... hasn't quite hit that crossover.
No.
And I'm waiting for... I want that to happen again because...
Yen is a little older, too.
He is a little older. That's true. I mean, don't get me wrong. He was in a Star Wars movie, so...
Yeah, he was.
That's not too shabby. But but I really hope... I really like Iko Uwais. I think he's super charismatic. I think he's incredibly talented as a martial artist. And I think he's quite an actor. And I hope... and his English isn't bad either. And I hope that we see more of him.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree.
And if we don't, then I'll seek out his foreign films and I'll watch those. So it is what it is. Anyway, liked the movie a lot.
Yeah.
And it features crackhead John Morrell. So.
By the way, listen to the Midwest Game Nerds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They mention that? Crackhead John Morrell?
No, I'm just saying.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He's one of the hosts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you just prompted me. Hey, speaking of The Raid.
Yeah.
Gareth Evans directed a movie.
He did direct a movie, and it was a Netflix exclusive.
Yeah, so what Netflix and Shudder did...
Netflix is killing it.
Yeah, they really are. Yeah. Is they dropped... Shudder had a couple ones, too. They decided to drop everything I wanted to see this year, in 2 weeks.
So frustrating. Honestly, I hate to be that way.
Yeah.
But.
I don't...
Apostle.
Yeah, Apostle.
Night Comes for Us.
Night Comes
Hill
for
House,
Us. Hill House.
Hill House. Making a Murderer.
Daredevil Season 3.
And Daredevil.
Yeah.
I've watched a couple things out of that list.
But. Well, then Shudder dropped the second season of No End... Channel Zero.
Yep.
And then there's a movie called Terrified that I wanted to check out. Yep. And then I can't remember. There's another one I wanted to check out, too. So they've teamed up for all these cool. Oh, and then Sabrina's coming out next week.
I know.
Or this Friday.
God.
So, yeah. So all the cool stuff.
Slow down.
Well, yeah, it's I understand.
It's October.
It's October. Yeah. And this is probably what. This is probably mostly what we're looking for anyway.
Yeah.
So what they've done is, but that'll give us more stuff to watch in November, December.
That's
when everybody's watching Christmas movies.
That's true.
Well, but I'll be watching that Kurt Russell Christmas movie.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Want to go see it?
It's on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Want to get together and watch it?
Yes. Right.
Cool. Anyway. Apostle.
Yeah.
Is the film we're talking about. Right
yeah.
Now.
Yeah. Way to bring it back. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't have a segue for that.
Yeah. No,
Apostle is kind of a period piece religious horror film.
Yeah, like a cult horror, kind of like a British cult horror.
Yeah,
like a little The Wicker Man.
Yes, or it's got Wicker Man vibes.
Black Death.
I like Black Death a lot. Or The Vivitch, even.
Yeah,
there's elements of that.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing this trailer. I think you sent it to me, and I went, "Whoa, holy smokes!" Cause I had no idea this was happening. I really liked this movie.
I kind of did, too.
It's insane.
I've read some mixed stuff on this movie.
Some mixed stuff?
Yeah. I think a lot of people thought it was slower than maybe they anticipated.
It is.
It's kind of...
But I loved it.
I kind of liked it a lot,
There's
too.
This creeping dread all the way through the movie.
And it's different, too. It's different than a lot of those movies we named off, those cult movies.
It is. And I some of the reviews I've read after I watched it, I tried to avoid a lot of that stuff with this movie, but keep talking about a twist. I don't want to say too much about the movie because I don't want to spoil it. I don't think there's a
it's not
pretty well established.
Yeah, and that's part of the
They're talking about, okay, there's some supernatural elements in the film. I'm just going to throw it out there. And there it maybe leans a little more supernatural than I think some expected. I dug all that.
I did too, because that's what made it different.
Unique. Yeah, it wasn't just a simple cult film. There was some really interesting stuff going on. And I think some people's frustration stems from the fact that they introduce these supernatural elements and they don't feed to you what they are, what the explanation is. You have to kind of put that together yourself. And I've always said, I've said this since we started podcasting, that if I enjoy the film or enjoy the story I'm reading or the video game I'm playing or whatever enough, I will put the effort into determining what I feel like is really going
on.
If I don't like it, if I'm not invested, I won't. I don't care. I move on. This is one that I enjoyed enough to where I'm like, wow, I want to dig into what is going on this island that it takes place on. And I loved it.
I really did. And it's one of those things too. It's not like one of those things where the director, writer, you can tell this is something that they probably have a mythology of somewhere.
Oh, he's got one. There's no question. And honestly, there's probably some basis in some sort of mythology or folklore or something. I'm sure.
Right.
I haven't read into that enough yet. But I enjoyed what it presented in terms of that the more fantastical stuff. And I enjoyed just the creepy factor and the religious cult aspects of it, too. So
Michael Sheen is very good in it. Dan Stevens is excellent in it.
Like them both a lot. Michael Sheen is he's really an underrated actor.
Yes. I forgot he was in it, and I was surprised. Yeah. And happy, pleasantly surprised when he showed up.
Yeah. In this movie alone, he can flip the switch from like utterly terrifying to super charismatic to surprisingly sympathetic.
I was gonna say there are times. Yeah. Yeah. Like sympathetic. Yeah.
And he's married to Kate Beckinsale, so good for him.
I didn't know that.
I think they're still married.
Okay.
I'm sure. I'm going to confirm.
So I don't feel like it's true. Yeah, you can hear that. Yeah, the only other thing that I will say about this is, without getting into spoilers, it's different. If you've only seen Gareth Evans' The Raid movies, and even probably his segment in VHS 2, his style isn't as prevalent here. It's a little bit reeled in. Maybe a little bit too much, because I kind of wanted to, like, I kind of like when I see a Gareth Evans movie, sometimes it's kind of like when you see a Sam Raimi movie, you want to see Sam Raimi do his thing. Still does his thing. It still shows, like, there's a couple of really cool POV shots. There's one when a character is tied up somewhere. There's like a POV shot. It's really good. So the style still comes through, but it is a little bit restrained. And sometimes I'm not like crazy about that, because it feels like the director or creator is like reacting to stuff they've heard in the past, and they're like, I gotta do it this way. But it works. It works in this. Yeah,
I dug it. Mm-hmm. Real quick, just want to correct myself. They do have a daughter together. They were never married.
Okay.
And then he dated Rachel McAdams for 3 years.
Okay.
And now he's dating Sarah Silverman. So Michael Sheen's quite an interesting man.
Sarah Silverman. I thought she was with Jimmy Kimmel.
Evidently not.
Yeah.
I'm
getting caught up on all the news.
I don't keep up
Kate
on this.
Kate Beckinsale, I thought she's now with the director.
With Len Wiseman.
Len Wiseman. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yep. You're That's right. What I was thinking. Yeah. Yeah. Because they were like, this is like Resident Evil.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Michael Sheen was in the Underworld film.
Yeah, he was.
There's some interesting stuff going on there. Michael Sheen's performance, real quick, before we move on to Halloween, finally. Michael Sheen's performance in Twilight. Have you seen it?
I've seen clips. Good. I think you've sent me clips.
Good. It's really one of the greats.
They've been reevaluating Twilight on the internet lately, I've seen, because it's 10 years old.
They're not good.
Yeah.
They're kind of fun, though.
I'm going to watch this franchise at some point.
No, 100%.
I've seen the first one, and I remember thinking, like, it's all right, it's not bad. And then, like, the ending comes, and like, I kind of like the part. I'm like, oh, that's beautiful, where they're at the prom or whatever.
Sure. they're kind of fun.
Yeah.
Like, in a special.
Maybe we'll watch a Twilight movie out here sometime.
Oh, man. Can you imagine? Listenership right just, like, drops.
Chernobyl Diaries. We'll just start doing stuff to entertain ourselves.
Yes, because we feel like it. Anyway, so that is awesome.
On
check
Netflix
them both
now.
Out.
Yeah, on Netflix now.
Yeah, yeah. In between your seasons of the 14 TV shows that came out.
I did watch the first episode of Haunting on Hill House. It's quite good. I just haven't.
I'm going to check that out soon.
Mike Flanagan is excellent.
I want to try and do Daredevil. I'm not in a superhero mode right now, though.
See, I got into one. But then I just realized I think I was just in a Punisher mode.
You just want to listen.
I still am.
You're excited for season two, right?
Yeah, I want it now.
Bernthal's the best. When he screams, he gets so mad.
The part where he bites a guy's neck.
It's so sweet. All right. Speaking of,
I've been very violent lately.
Right?
Yeah. I guess I need a release.
I guess so.
All that wedding stress.
It's pent up. It's coming out now. Speaking of neck-based violence, let's talk about Halloween.
Man. There was a good segue.
2018.
Yeah.
This, of course, is directed by David Gordon Green, written by Gordon Green and Danny McBride, and composed by the OG
John Carpenter,
the OG JC,
yeah,
Mr. John Carpenter, starring
his son
and
his godson,
Cody as well, and Daniel Davies, his godson, also very very talented. We've seen them live; they're wonderful.
Yeah,
if you get a chance to see John Carpenter live,
we made a blood oath that we're going to do the meet and greet.
We're going to do the meet and greet next time. Yep.
Yeah.
Sometime in hopefully the near future, you'll see a picture tweeted out of me and Tim with John Carpenter.
Yes.
Because I want to get a picture together with him.
Yeah, me too.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to handle this review a little differently because there's a lot to kind of deconstruct here in this movie, I think. There's a lot of things we liked.
Yes.
There's a lot of things we maybe didn't like.
Yeah.
This is going to be spoiler heavy. I'm just going to throw it out there right now. If for some reason you're listening to this and you haven't seen Halloween yet and you don't want to be spoiled, then just go see the movie and then come back. Sorry. It is what it is.
If you want our thoughts, Willie, give me a one-sentence thought.
Surprising... in the best ways and slightly disappointing ways.
Yeah. Liked, didn't love, pretty good sequel with some really, really great moments.
Cool.
Yep.
There we go. There's our thoughts.
So let's now we're going to spoil it.
Yeah, now we're going to spoil the shit out of this. All right, so it's 40 years later, right?
Yeah.
So this is Halloween. Let's call it H4O.
I kind of like that, too.
Right, just call it that. So we got a couple of true crime podcasters, right? Aaron and Dana, and what they're trying to do is they're award winning. We've heard they're award winning. Let me just throw out Aaron and Dana real quick here.
Yeah,
I like these two.
I kind of did too. I've seen some criticism of these two, and this is not where I would lob the criticism.
I have no issue with the performances or the characters for that matter. There's one line that he delivers that like made me laugh out loud in the theater where he's like, "We're doing a podcast," and I'm like, "Ew." This is so gross.
I still have it. This is funny coming from two people who have been podcasting for like 8 years now.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe not that long. Well, how long has it been?
It's been a long time. Dude.
Yeah. I celebrated my 5-year work anniversary. I've been podcasting
We started podcasting in 2012.
But I am still.
And I was doing it before that.
Yeah.
So.
I'm still not used to seeing people say they are podcasters
it's
in movies.
Weird,
it's
right?
So. Well, What's weird about it is like you're a radio show host or you're a TV host, but like a podcaster, I still have in my head as like an Apple thing.
Well, right. Sure. Yeah. No, that makes sense. And here's my issue with the podcasting.
Yeah.
They kind of correct it later because they mention A, that they've won awards in the past, right?
Yes.
And B, that they work for a radio program, like a public radio thing.
Right.
So it's like an NPR type thing, right? And that's cool. That's fine.
Yeah. I would have switched that line then.
I would have too, because...
We're going to nitpick the hell out of this, aren't we?
Yes, we are. Because immediately after mentioning that they're doing a podcast... They go, "Hey, you want $3,000? You got a budget for this? You've paid to fly to the U.S.
Right.
Presumably.
Right.
Stay in hotels, presumably, and pay people to interview them? Like this, I had a hard time with that.
I listen to NPR podcasts, and if someone were to come out and interview me from one of those podcasts, they would not introduce themselves as podcasters. They'd say, "I'm with NPR."
Yes.
And that would be a little bit more official to me.
It was strange.
Yes.
But I like the two characters. I legitimately do. And I think it's a nice way for us to get up
I'm so happy we got hung up on that.
Yes, yes. Hopefully that's the last time we get hung up on something like that. But I like the way that they're able to... They're kind of tools to establish where we're at, right?
Yes.
Time and place, and that's fine. So we're 40 years later. This is disregarding all the sequels, even two.
Yeah.
Laurie and Michael are not brother and sister.
Yeah.
Okay? And we establish... Thank goodness, by the way, we establish that very vaguely that Michael Myers was captured on that night in 1978. We don't say when exactly.
Yes.
Actually, I don't even know that they say that night.
Mm-hmm.
We just know he was caught and apprehended. I'm cool with that. I was very nervous
this. Yeah, we discussed that a lot, like how they were going to do this because we had heard different things.
I was nervous because the ending of Halloween is perfect.
Yes.
It leaves you feeling like you just, like, you don't, like you're jazzed,
mm-hmm.
right? I think you texted me, you're like,
I texted you
I feel
right
like a buzz after I watched this movie. Yeah. And part of that's the ending.
Yes.
And so for them to, I imagined like Michael, like Michael Myers laying there, and then he's gone, right? And then Loomis runs downstairs, and he's like, oh, he's just right in the next, like, he's in the lawn over there. Like, he didn't make it too far. Like, that was driving me nuts. So they keep it vague. I actually listened to an interview with Carpenter where he mentioned that they originally wanted to reshoot the ending of Halloween 1, essentially, and show him getting apprehended, and he's like, they're not going to like that. Fans aren't going to like
that. I would hate
So thank you, Carpenter.
Yeah.
if that's true, thank you, Carpenter. So anyway, they show up at Smith's Grove, and Michael's apprehended in this really cool sequence. Kind of a great set design, right? That checkerboard.
Really good, yeah.
Cool. You see it in the trailers. Yeah. And they link up with this doctor, Dr. Sartan. He's got a really cool accent. He was Loomis's protege, and is now Michael's main doctor. But the reason why they're interviewing Michael now, right, is because he's about to be transferred to... Basically, he's about to be locked in a hole the rest of his life. Like, they're done studying him. The state's over it. They don't want... They're tired of Sartan slash Loomis's research. They don't think anything can be gained from this guy anymore. Lock him up. Throw away the key. He's human garbage, basically.
Right.
So they're going to do this, and this is their last chance, I guess, to, like, get Michael to, like, to understand Michael. And I think they want to, like, find a way to rehabilitate Michael. They mentioned, like, is rehabilitation an option for somebody like him?
Yeah, the podcasters seem, they seem like two people that are kind of interested in that avenue.
Yeah.
Which I think is interesting thematically, and... I think it's I've gone back and forth on that, but I think the podcasters set up that kind of. I think we explored them enough.
Yeah.
The doctor, on the other hand, we'll get into later. Don't think is explored enough.
No, not for what comes later. And yeah. You know, there's a twist involving the doctor that we'll get into, and it just doesn't quite.
But
it's one of my bigger issues.
Yeah, but I think the podcasting stuff keeps it current as well with the kind of the true crime phenomenon. And it kind of dives into like why we are obsessed with what we're obsessed with.
Yeah.
Currently. And why people like shows like
Making a Murderer,
Snapped, yep. Like stuff like that. Yep. So why people like that? There is a bit of a morbidity to it, but there's also the idea of can these people be rehabilitated? And
sure.
Michael is basically an example of no, this guy's not being rehabilitated.
No, there's nothing there.
Yeah, there's nothing there. He's just pure evil killing machine.
Loomis was right.
They mentioned
this one thing I really did like about their mentioning kind of what went down after the credits rolled on Halloween, the original, is that they mention later on with Will Patton's character that he actually stopped Loomis from killing Michael.
Yeah.
That at some point when they found Michael, wherever he was, like I said, thank God it's vague.
Yeah.
Wherever they found him, Loomis was about to blow his brains out and Will Patton's character stopped him.
Yeah.
Because Loomis reached that point where he's like, he's better off dying. I think there's that voiceover from Loomis, which was kind of cool, where he's like, there is no other option for this man except for to kill him.
Right.
You just put him, end it.
Yes.
And he's not wrong, as we'll find out, depending on how you feel about the death penalty, I guess. Anyway, so I dug that sequence. I thought it was a cool setup. It kind of gets you in the mood. It kind of... establishes where we're at, time and place. It establishes the fact that we're not going to be thinking about Halloween 2, 4, 5, 6, Cult of Thorn, Resurrection, Busta Rhymes.
It knocks out a lot of exposition and world table setting, I think. I think it's pretty efficient.
I thought so, too.
Yeah.
And we smash cut to... I thought it was really cool. I've heard some complaints about this, too, but we smash cut from him holding the mask up and screaming, speak, to...
Oh, that was awesome.
Title sequence. The original theme kicks in.
Yeah.
And you have this... I adored that pumpkin.
Oh my God, that was so cool.
People are shitting on that too.
No, screw that.
Like, oh, the CGI sucks. I'm like, come on.
We're going to shit on some things that maybe deserve that. That does not.
No, it was super cool.
That was CGI?
I guess. Yeah, I didn't really care. I was like, this is awesome.
It was the rebirth of the pumpkin. It was like the rebirth of Michael. It was awesome.
It was so sweet. It was like he was waking up. Like after
it's a bit, I think maybe it's a bit audacious. Like,
yeah,
it's a bit.
Sure.
It's a bit like, but like that's why I liked it.
Dude, it was sweet. It made a statement.
That got me so pumped.
So jazzed.
And I actually liked the podcaster screaming. Like, I like how I call him podcaster. I'm just kidding. Yeah, that's what they call themselves. Yeah. But I like him screaming speak, because Michael's not going to do it.
Absolutely.
I really liked the way they did Michael in this movie, too.
Yeah, and I like the brief glimpses of his face. We're going to talk about one right now. And I don't think you caught this, because I did not upon first viewing, but I saw a gif of it afterwards, and it's fucking terrifying.
Okay.
So we'll get into it. Anyway, so... We roll credits and we're playing the theme. We're in the mood. We're ready to go. They show up at Lori's place. They offer her $3,000 to be interviewed. And we get our first look at Jamie Lee Curtis as Laurie Strode 40 years after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a new interpretation of the character. Some elements of H2O, I would say, carried over. Not the alcoholism, but maybe the damage.
A little bit of the alcoholism, though.
Yeah, she does drink.
There's a very similar scene.
That's true.
To H2O
she does drink.
When she chugs the wine.
You are right. She did say, "Mom, didn't you quit drinking?" Yeah.
Yep.
So there's similarities there to the H2O thing. I think it's hard to avoid that, right?
No,
if you're dealing with a character who's dealt with trauma,
mm-hmm. I think it's an avenue that is likely to, especially for a film to go down. Yeah.
Yeah, but in this, I'd argue that Laurie is even more damaged than an H2O.
Yeah.
She's got kids.
She's got her act together a lot, at least on the outside in H2O.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's kind of a closet basket case in H2O. Mm-hmm. Here, she's kind of shunned from society.
Yeah.
She's walled herself off from society. She's the crazy old lady that lives just outside of town that all the kids avoid.
Yeah.
Or that they like try and walk up and leave dog poop on her front door. You know what I mean? Like that she's that lady.
Yes.
And she's that lady to her own family. And I really dig the kind of the history we get into with her and what happened with her and her daughter, Karen. Judy Greer, who's awesome. Love Judy Greer.
Yeah, I thought she was quite good in this. Yeah.
And then, of course, her granddaughter, Allison, who I also like her quite a bit. Andy Manichak, I think is her name. I think this is her first big movie.
I was going to say, has she been anything? But I think it's
an introducing.
Yeah, I think it's an introducing as well.
So I like her quite a bit, too.
Yeah.
But I love the idea that... So I had a... in high school, I had a girlfriend who had a good relationship with her mother, but her mother didn't have a good relationship with her mother, with my girlfriend's grandmother. And so we had to, in secret, me and my girlfriend had to go visit her grandmother just so she could spend time with her because her mother didn't want her, like forbid her to. Mm-hmm. So this reminded me of that a little bit because I could see some people being like, I don't buy this, but no, this is like. This,
yeah, I bought this.
I did too.
I buy both versions. I buy the H2O version and this version.
Yeah, yeah,
absolutely. One of them's just a little bit more extreme, but no, I bought it too. And a lot of that I think is Jamie Lee Curtis being
excellent.
She's
so good.
She's like,
let's talk about Jamie Lee for a second.
She's a force of nature at
like
all times.
Really good in this movie.
There's some stuff you have to buy into with her character in this that may be a little bit out there, I think, or a little bit.
Some of the survivalist stuff.
Some of the survivalist stuff can come off a little goofy, but
then you think she's at 40 years.
Yeah.
And she's obsessed. And I do mean obsessed. Michael Myers doesn't give a shit about Laurie
Strode.
That's
my favorite part of this movie.
He doesn't
how
give
they handle
a shit
that relationship.
About Laurie Strode.
No, he doesn't. It's back
doesn't
to
care.
Yeah, he's back to Michael Myers. He's not this is not
he's the shape.
He's not related in any way to her. That's my favorite is the relationship because there is a bit of a there's a bit of an abused relationship where, and that's kind of how it goes a lot of the times in cases of trauma and stuff like this, is where, I mean, she is obsessed with, she can't stop thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
She can't stop thinking about that night, and Michael has moved on completely.
No.
Like, he doesn't even acknowledge her.
No, even when he sees her,
initially,
he's not following her.
Yeah.
He's like, I got stuff to do, lady.
Right. He's a monster.
So let's talk about Michael for a second, and we'll get later into it. We'll get into details as we go through the plot. But this iteration of Michael Myers is the best since the original. There's no question in my mind whatsoever.
I agree.
The mask, the movement, the vibe he gives off. We get a lot of the. Here's my thing. So as I was watching, I was like, he looks like Michael. He's moving like Michael, but we're missing some of that element of the. The stalking before the kill. Mm-hmm. That's so terrifying in that first movie, right? Because he's in shadows, and it's so prolonged before he pounces that your tension reaches a point where you can't take it anymore when it actually happens.
Yeah.
There's not as much of that in this. There is some of it. But I'll say this. The more I thought about it, the more I appreciated his approach in this movie, where he literally is trick-or-treating. He's going door-to-door.
Yeah.
That's creepy to begin with. This is Michael's twisted version of trick-or-treating. And we're getting a creepier Michael again. We're getting a Michael, if you think back to the original, and he doesn't do this in any of the sequels, he played with his food.
That's the thing is, he's back to being kind of a jokester.
He set up Judith's grave above Annie's body. He put the sheet over himself in the original.
Yes.
He liked to mess with people.
They get Michael pretty right in this.
Right.
Especially for, he feels like a guy who's been waiting 40 years for this. Like, it's...
That's my thing.
Yeah.
Yes. And that's what I was going to say. Is him going house to house doesn't seem like Halloween 1 Michael. But this is not Halloween 1 Michael.
Mm-hmm.
This is a Michael who's had 40 years of pent-up aggression and just wants to kill.
It's like, but it's not like the like Rob Zombie rage. It's a controlled rage. It's like a, yeah, like a, I have been thinking about this for 40 years.
Yes.
This is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to do it. And I don't care. Well, he cares who he kills. There are certain lines he won't cross.
He kills a kid.
He does yeah.
That was surprised me.
Yeah, I didn't know about that.
He does not kill the baby, though.
He does not kill the baby.
I honestly, for a second, went, oh, no.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like that.
He does not kill the baby. And he stays away from the trick-or-treaters as well.
He doesn't seem to want to hurt the kids.
But he doesn't want to kill anybody out in the open, really, either.
No.
He's sneaking up behind people in their home a lot of the time or killing them off to the side.
And the kid, I think he almost kills purely because he wants to take the truck.
He just wants the truck. Yeah, the kid's in the way.
Yep. So, it's interesting. I was happy he didn't kill the baby, though. I was like, oh, God, don't do it.
No, that would have been too extreme.
It's a bit. That'd be a bit much.
Too hardcore.
Yeah.
I mean, even for the zombie movies.
Right? Even that would have been. Anyway, so I dig this Michael a lot, and I'm happy that Nick Castle is back.
I love the glimpses of the old man face, Michael, that
it's
we get.
So sweet.
It's
okay.
So cool.
Well,
yeah, sorry.
No, we're good. We're good. It's hard not to talk about him because he's so good in this movie.
Yeah, he is.
So anyway, so they interview Laurie. We get a little bit of Laurie's backstory, where she's been, so on and so forth. And they want Laurie they introduce a very interesting idea here. And it's an idea that I don't feel like the film follows through with enough.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the idea that if Laurie and Michael get together in the same place, something like biblical is going to happen.
Yeah.
Something is going to happen that's going to be a breakthrough either for Laurie or for Michael, right? It's arguable that that does happen in a way. Obviously, the finale is very action-packed, and there is a big blowout. But they almost set up with between the Michael speak, between the doctor and the podcasters here, their talk to Laurie about meet with him,
mm-hmm.
sit down and talk to him, and see what happens. I feel like they were headed in a direction that might have been made some fans kind of pissed off.
I think so. I want to see an early script to this.
Me too.
I do too. Yeah.
I have a very strong feeling that Michael opens his mouth at some point in the original script for this movie. And I wouldn't want him to let out a soliloquy, but I actually would have been accepting if at some juncture he said something to her.
Yeah, what would
I don't know what it would be.
No, I don't know either because
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I think the idea that they're going with too is the obsession with her and then him not giving a shit.
It would almost
be
interesting if they reached a point where she was like, why me? Why did you do this to me back then? 40 years ago, why me that night? That's an idea that would haunt you. Like, why was it me?
Yeah.
And him just be like,
it feels
you were there. You know?
It feels like that doctor character, there's something more with that doctor character where he's almost trying to get them together.
No, he is, 100%.
He's trying to get them together, but it's never, this is part of the issue with the doctor character, he's never explored. And I want to know if he's more explored in the early stages of that script. It feels like the doctor character is like a stand-in for audience or those sequels where they're related.
Sure.
He wants to get them back together like it's Fate. And then basically, yeah, you're right. Michael's like, there's no fate here.
Kind of fight. And
I just
want
to kill her.
Yeah, and I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
But I guess it felt like a thread that kind of got just cut. There was no... And maybe that's the point.
Honestly, well, I think that point is maybe made a little bit more clear with the boyfriend character a little later.
Sure.
I just think there's some stuff missing with that doctor character.
There's something.
Most of my issues with this movie stem from that character.
Yeah, sure.
I think, yeah.
Fair enough. So finally Michael's going to be transported in the bus. There's a really, I thought, one of the better scenes in the film where Laurie's sitting there and just watching the transfer and losing it.
Yes.
She's got a gun too, doesn't she?
Yeah, she's got a gun. She's got a gun, some booze. Yep.
It was really haunting stuff. Anyway, we get to our first, of course, things go wrong.
They do.
The prison bus crashes. I would assume Sartan had something to do with that.
It's hinted, yeah.
He had to, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, the bus crashes.
I like to think of him in my head as Dr. Caligari. He's trying to control Michael as
control the monster.
But you can't control him.
No, he's a force of nature.
Yep.
So the bus crashes, Michael kills a kid. We get kind of a cool callback to that shot from the original, and there's a lot of callbacks, and we'll talk more about them. That shot from the original of the patients in white robes wandering around in the dark,
mm-hmm.
From when Loomis and the nurse pull up originally, and Michael Myers breaks out of the asylum in the first Halloween.
Yeah.
I liked that; it was cool.
That was
a neat callback. And Michael tracks down our podcasters to a gas station,
yeah,
slash truck stop, kills himself, a couple of gas station attendants, auto body mechanics, so he gets his coveralls. He's good to go there, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's kind of a callback to 4, right?
I think so,
there's
too.
There's a huge sequence in 4 where Loomis finds the dead mechanic in his underwear, and they find a dead mechanic in their underwear here. I think that's the callback to 4 in this movie.
Would you have liked to have seen him go around in his gown, though?
Just bop around in it?
Yeah.
Without the mask, or with the mask?
With the mask.
He'd look pretty cool.
Yeah, I think he'd look kind of cool.
His bum just hanging out. Because those things never cover enough. Oh, my God. So he kills our intrepid podcasters pretty brutally, especially especially Aaron, whose head gets smashed 1,000 times.
Yes.
And then he's forced to watch his dying while Michael kills.
Yeah, that was harsh, wasn't
it? The teeth was really... That's old school Michael Myers, too.
Yes.
That's the trick part of the trick-or-treat, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he gets his mask back, and that was very cool. They play kind of a cool, like, subdued version of the Halloween theme as he's putting it on. But here's the part that I didn't catch, and I saw a GIF of it, and I'll try and find it. There's a shot from inside the bathroom stall as she's in there hiding out, and you can see Michael pacing around in there, right? And his face passes ever so quickly through the gap in the bathroom stall.
Yeah.
And he's fucking smiling.
Grinning
ear to ear.
I missed it.
I will show it. It's so...
That's
like
great.
It's like a big, like he's like overjoyed about the fact that he's going to get to kill
that's
her.
That's awesome.
Because you don't ever see, like...
No,
like, so now I envision, and it freaks me out. I'm getting goosebumps.
Yeah.
I'm envisioning, like, what is he doing underneath? Like, is he smiling under that mask because he's doing what he's doing?
Yeah.
Like, is he taking joy in what he's...
That's awesome.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm going to find it for
that
you.
That kind of, like... That makes their version of Michael Myers even better in this movie.
Right? Because he's so happy he gets to do this again.
Yeah.
Like, he's got a huge grin. It's so creepy.
That's perfect.
Anyway, so, obviously, Laurie finds out that this bus crashed, and she's freaking out. And to be fair, it's fair that maybe Karen and Karen's husband, who is played by Toby Huss, who I've heard everybody talk about because they know him from, I think our buddies are fans of Halt to Catch Fire.
Okay.
And he's from Halt to Catch Fire. He's awesome in this
movie. He's really funny.
He's super
this
funny.
This is a pretty funny movie.
Pretty funny movie.
Yeah.
But not like... Like, the jokes land, and they don't take you out of the movie.
No,
for the
they
most
were,
part.
No,
there's one
good.
Sandwich joke later on that was, like, weird. And I was
the penis thing?
No, the penis? No, I'm talking about, like, the, oh, it's this kind of sandwich.
The two cops. Yeah, that's probably good. I kind of laughed at it.
That was their Halloween 5 reference, I think.
Okay.
Because remember the two bumbling cops, the Keystone cops in Halloween 5? I think that's was
their... Oh, I like it even more now.
Yeah. Did you catch The Resurrection, by the way?
No.
I just passed that. So there's that creepy lady in a church bus at the gas station when Aaron is pumping gas. The church bus is Resurrection Church.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. So anyway. And if you remember right, there's a similar van that's driven by Busta Rhymes.
Busta Rhymes, Dangertainment.
Yeah. So anyway, so Laurie's freaking out, and Michael's back in Haddonfield.
Yes.
He's back. We're kind of tearing through this thing, but it is what it is.
No, that's good. We're good.
That tracking shot. Let's talk about it.
Are we at the tracking shot now?
Yeah. He's back in Haddonfield. Laurie knows he's gone.
Yeah. We get a little bit more time with the Strodes, I think.
We do get some time with the Strodes, and we've established the relationship and that, you know, there are issues there. And all of it's really good stuff.
Yes.
But I want to get to this tracking shot.
I do, too, because I think it's the highlight of the movie.
It's the best part
one
of the
them.
Movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is so Halloween through and through.
Yeah. It's amazing.
We follow Michael just over his shoulder, basically, for a solid, 5 minutes or so. And we get our Halloween 2 reference.
Yes.
Where he bumps into a kid with a boombox.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of fun. The references are not, like...
They're not... I was expecting, like, really on-the-nose stuff. I thought they were kind of clever.
It was. I honestly think that the Keystone Cops thing is a Halloween 5 reference.
Yeah, I do, too.
I truly do.
Yeah.
But he bumps into the kid. And we see our Silver Shamrock masks.
Yes.
A couple times during this sequence. And it feels like Haddonfield at night, doesn't it?
No, it does. I thought this was... Okay, so when I first read about this, we read about it leading up to it. I kind of thought he was just, like, going home to home, killing everybody. And I went, oh, that's really awesome. But I'm like, oh, like, that's Jason.
Kind of, right?
Yeah, like, this isn't... Michael's got a purpose to each of these kills. Yeah.
And you can see the gears turning.
Yes.
You get more of an idea of how his brain works as, like, a machine.
Yeah.
Because there are moments, like, there's a moment where he, like... Now, I think I'm getting this right. He stops, and he turns and looks at a couple, I assume husband and wife, that are leaving their house and leaving for, like, some sort of... They're in costume, and they're leaving for a Halloween party. And the wife stares at him for a second, like, she... Because you got to think, in Haddonfield, some people know about, they know about the killings and stuff. Mm-hmm. Not everybody would probably know about the mask, right?
Right.
They might have read that he wore a mask in the reports and stuff, right. But I don't think there's pictures of Michael Myers out there in the mask.
Right.
But she sees that, and you can tell for a second she knows something's wrong, mm-hmm. but her husband's like, all right, let's go, you know, and they hop in. What I didn't realize is that husband and wife that's leaving are the parents of Julian.
Oh, that's okay.
So he's looking and he's seeing them leave, and in his head he's thinking, I'll get back to that house in a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you think he goes from old lady, which is another Halloween 2 reference.
Mm-hmm. The old lady, yeah, the old lady with the curlers and stuff.
Yeah. Gets the hammer. Like, he instantly is like, I got to get myself a weapon, right? Yep. That's his first thought. So he goes right for that open garage, grabs it, hears the old lady, and goes, okay, someone to get. Like, goes in there, takes care of her, skips the baby,
yep,
and goes next door and stares in the window, and he sees, that's where we get some stalking, Michael, and mm-hmm. he sees that girl alone and gets her with the, he upgrades the kitchen knife, which is, he prefers.
Yes.
And he gets her with the kitchen knife. And then, if you think about it, the next time you see him, he's going over to Julian's house.
Mm-hmm.
That's, so he's already cased that house out.
He's like, I'm going back there. Yep.
He loops back to it. So, but on his path, he figures he might get some.
Oh, and he knows there's a babysitter there.
Yeah.
Oh,
because he sees them leaving and saying something to her on the front porch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. Like, he knows what he's doing. He's not a big dumb brute. Like, he's.
No, Michael is not Jason.
No.
And no. I don't know if some of the sequels.
They forget that.
They don't have a grasp on Michael.
No.
And this is, I think, this might be the best. Yeah, you're right. This is the best since the first one.
Oh, 100%. In terms of Michael Myers, this is the best he's been since the original Halloween.
Yeah.
No question.
Yeah.
Halloween 2, he's pretty close to. He's pretty close to Halloween 1. I mean, the kills are more creative, but he's not too far off. This is the best, though, since.
And I think the strength of this movie in it that carries me past some of the stuff that I do not like in it, mm-hmm. Is that, yeah, you're right. They get. It's kind of like a Rocky movie. You got to get Rocky right.
Yeah.
You got to get Michael. You got to get Laurie right. If you're going to bring those two characters back, they get them both.
Yep.
They do right by both.
They nail
them.
The two leads. Yeah.
Yep.
Basically, because he is a lead. So anyway, so the tracking shot's fantastic.
Yes.
It's wonderful.
Highlight of the movie. Very. I mean, this is also the slickest Halloween movie, maybe ever.
It looks so good.
I mean, Carpenter's Carpenter, but
it looks so good.
Yeah. This is really good.
Yeah, but not like, Not overly polished.
No, I didn't think so either. But that's kind of Gordon Green's.
That's his MO. Yeah, for sure. So speaking of Julian, he's the best.
Julian's amazing.
He's so sweet. That kid better be in other stuff.
Because he comes right after the tracking shot, right?
Yeah.
Because he's a nice break, because that tracking shot ends very violently.
Woo! Okay, back to the neck violence. That thing coming out through the front of her neck.
Yeah.
The kill off screen is really effective because you can just hear her like gurgling.
Right. What do you think of that kill? Because part of my issue with the movie, honestly, is there's some inconsistencies in the violence. Some of it is much like the first Halloween in that it's more implied.
Yeah.
And happens off screen. And then some of it's really brutal.
The knife through the neck, I didn't honestly have a problem with.
Okay.
Because I feel like, I recognize that at this day and age, you're going to have an occasion. You're going to have to show the violence every once in a while. That one didn't bother me so much.
Yeah.
I think like old school Michael would have been more of like a throat slit, not like a jabber through the neck. But I understood that they wanted an exclamation point at the end of that sentence.
And it's a good exclamation point.
And it was a good exclamation point.
I didn't have a problem with it either. I just thought it was
that
really
one I didn't
violent.
Have an issue with. Yeah. There is a kill later on that is a problem.
Insane.
Yeah. It's too much. So yeah, Julian's amazing. He's hilarious.
He's funny. That kid is really good.
So good. He feels so natural.
Yeah.
He feels honestly, he reminds me of Tommy Doyle. For like this generation of kids, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because Tommy Doyle like felt like a natural kid. Like,
yeah.
He felt like he had behaviors that I would.
He and Laurie had a nice back and forth, and Julian and Vicky had a nice back and forth too.
And we established Vicky as a friend of Allison's. Really
nice to like the kids too. Nice.
I liked all of them.
I mean, other than the ones you weren't supposed to like. Boyfriend. And
why does he not die in this movie?
Okay, that's what I want to get into because
that's a problem.
I don't think it is.
No.
I think it ties into the theme of having Michael back, but.
Okay, we'll talk about it.
We'll get there.
Anyway, so we love Julian. We can't say enough about him.
Yeah.
He's hilarious. He's much needed. He's a breath of fresh air. Julian actually thinks about going back up to try and help her again. What a cool little kid.
Yeah, Julian is cool.
Yeah, I feel bad that he has to see Vicky because you can tell he likes Vicky.
Yeah, he does.
I felt like heartbroken for that.
Yeah.
So Vicky does get killed and her boyfriend, Dave.
Man, pretty good sequence there too.
Love that sequence.
Yeah. This like going back over this is like, I'm like, oh, this is really good.
Yeah, right? Right? We've got our big issues are coming up. So let's see. So Vicky's killed, and Dave is killed. We don't discover him until a little bit later. Dave's like pinned up against a wall like Bob in the original, but it's through his neck again. He likes to stab necks. And
he does have a neck fetish.
He does. Yeah. And we get kind of a cool sequence now where Lori is kind of patrolling because she knows he's out there at this point. And Hawkins, not the sheriff, but he's like a local cop.
Right.
Is also patrolling. Will Patton's character.
Will Patton.
And they both kind of arrive at Julian's house like at the same time.
Right.
And Lori sees Michael like in the other room, like watching Hawkins. And you know Michael's got the body set up now. Like he's got the sheet over Vicky, the ghost eyes are cut into it. Mm-hmm. There's a jack-o'-lantern in the aquarium.
Yeah.
And you know, like in any other movie where Lori wasn't able to intervene, like Hawkins is next on the list. Mm-hmm. But she does, obviously. And they have that moment where they look at each other and Michael just keeps moving.
It's a great moment. Yeah.
It is a great moment. Because they could have handled it with like them staring at each other intensely for minutes, but that's not the point here, right? The point is that he doesn't care.
No, he doesn't care.
And I don't even know if he recognizes her at that point.
No, I don't think so either.
I don't know that he does.
I mean, he
saw her once.
Yeah. One night. Yeah, she's nothing to him.
No.
Yeah.
But he is everything to her. So
yeah.
So she shoots Michael, but he escapes, of course, you know. So at this point, let's get into the Halloween party, right?
This is at the school, right?
This is the big school soiree.
This is where we're going to get into the boyfriend stuff.
Yeah. So Allison's there with her boyfriend. I do not recall the character's name, and I don't think it's that important necessarily. But her boyfriend, we should mention that Dave, Vicky's boyfriend, is Lonnie's son. How cool is that?
Lonnie, of course, from the first one. Lonnie.
Wait, no, I'm sorry. No, the douchey boyfriend is Lonnie's son.
Oh, is he?
Yes, because...
Oh, that's right, in the dinner scene.
Yes, so Lonnie's son survives the film.
Lonnie, get your ass away from that. Lonnie.
We love Lonnie. We don't love his son. He's kind of a douche. But,
Lonnie was kind of a douche. Yeah. He had issues, right, that they talk about in the dinner scene.
Yeah,
he
was a bit of a drinker and stuff. Yeah. There's something going on there.
Yes.
Because Karen's husband went to school with him.
Right.
Yeah, which means Karen's husband went to school with Tommy Doyle, interestingly enough. Kind of cool. Anyway, so we're at this party, and Allison's boyfriend's kind of a jerk and kisses another girl, and he's like, no, I didn't do it. He's a total jerk, and he throws her cell phone in, like, pudding.
Pudding. Maybe a little bit too obvious of a way to get rid of a cell phone for the third act.
A bit much.
Because as soon as... But the... Okay, so here's the thing, because I've seen a lot of this gameplay too, and I've decided I want to dismiss this. Characters in horror movies do stupid things.
How about this? Have her just drop it while she's running.
Yeah, that's fine too.
Because if you're being chased, actively chased, you're not going to go back for it, right? Yeah. Like if he's coming,
she's
at you,
more likely to pull her phone out of the pudding than she is. I mean, to drop her. I mean, she's more likely to drop her phone. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, anyway.
Yeah,
I
think then to leave her phone in the pudding
is what I'm trying
to say.
There's a simpler way to take care of this. I mean, I guess it was kind of like, wow, this guy really is kind of a next level asshole. But
right. It was a bit too obvious, I thought.
So you were mentioning not killing him.
Okay, so... I
wanted to see blood. I wanted him.
I thought this too. And my wife thought that too. She's like, I wanted him dead. And that's kind of where I went, yeah, I did too. But then I go, well, that's what Jason would do. Like Jason,
you're 100% right.
Jason's the Punisher.
Yep.
Michael, I mean, if Michael sees him, he might kill him.
But he doesn't care.
He doesn't give a shit. No. Michael doesn't. Michael is.
If the bear is hungry, he will eat.
Yeah, Mike. There's no morality. There's no justice to Michael. He's just going around killing.
No, and you know what? You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
And
so
actually, it's better that way.
I thought the same thing, and I understand it. And believe me, if Michael would have offed him,
he would have. If he had an opportunity.
Yeah. But I also went, okay, I think they were going for something there. And plus he offs the nice guy later.
Oscar. Yeah, I kind of like Oscar. Like, he's kind of a creep.
Yeah.
But I think he means well.
Oscar's that, Oscar's like every, like, I don't know, like 80s, like 90s, like teen movie nice guy.
He's Ducky.
Ducky, basically. Yeah. And Michael has no time for that.
Yeah, one of my favorite sequences is... Start kicks off with Oscar's untimely demise.
Yeah.
The
on-off
motion sensor sequence.
Man, there's some good stuff in this.
Is so rad. That is some... Okay, so after we saw the movie...
Yeah.
Guess who had to take his garbage out that
you.
Night? Me. Guess who has a motion sensor light...
You.
...on the side of his effing house? Not excited about that.
No.
Okay? I was not excited about it. It's really effective.
Yeah.
And this is a way to use new technology in a way that... Not that it's that new of technology, but,
no.
you know, more current.
Newer than the 1978.
More prevalent technology yeah. now than... it's a cool way to use it, and it works for me.
Yeah.
I mean, when that thing goes off, you're like, oh my God, he's going to be right freaking next to him yeah. now. And he is. So he kills the hell out of Oscar.
Yeah, that's a great season.
Yeah,
that's a great
that
gag.
Sequence is great. Yeah. And I think after that, we jump right into him chasing Allison, which is... It's my favorite piece of the score.
Should we? This is where we should talk about the score, right?
Yeah, we'll get into it right now.
Yeah.
Shape Hunts Allison, or Hunts Allison, mm-hmm. is the best piece on a John Carpenter score that is top-notch through and through.
Yeah, you listened to the whole thing, too?
Loved it.
Beginning to end. Yeah, I've listened to it, too. It's really... Like, this is... I am... And maybe it's his son and his godson helping out as well, but I was kind of shocked by how much I felt like he's in his prime with this thing.
It's
like
insane.
This is prime Carpenter score here.
Like, really good.
This is one of the more memorable horror scores in a long time.
Yes.
Yeah, this is really, really good stuff.
I'm trying to think of other horror scores I can remember from the last 5 or so years.
It follows
had a really strong one.
Yeah. The Witch, I thought, had a really good score.
The Witch had a good score.
Get Out had a good score, too.
Yeah. So there were some.
There's been some.
But, God, man.
This is really good.
Carpenter's not a spring chicken, okay?
No.
And he's putting this stuff out, and it's so strong. Like,
and I almost... Okay, so he's... Carpenter is one of my favorite directors, and I think he's one of the great horror directors. I think he's a fantastic director.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm not so sure if music isn't his true, like...
Right?
Like, because the music makes a lot of his movies, too.
Yes.
And I think the music... This is a very stylish movie, and I think the music helps this movie a lot.
A ton. Actually, the original Halloween screened without a score.
Really?
And initially, like, test screening or whatever it was, and, like, nobody was like, that's not scary.
Mm-hmm.
And then he wrote the score, I think. He wrote and recorded the score in, like, 3 days
it's,
for Halloween.
Yeah.
And it's, like, it does everything for that movie. So,
yeah. It is, this, and I do want to say, this is a kind of a mix. Gordon Green said Big Trouble in China, kind of see it, but this is more of...
Oh, did he say that?
He said, it was early interview because he was trying to describe the score, and I think I see what he was going for, because Big Trouble in Little China is a different Carpenter score.
Yeah, it is.
But it's more like if anybody's listened to his Lost Theme album.
It's a lot like Lost Themes.
It uses a lot of synth, a lot of guitar.
But it incorporates the motifs and the themes
yes.
from... Because even Shape Stocks isn't this.
But it's the new stuff that really grabbed me, too.
Yeah.
Like, it's really good.
It's really good.
It's right up there with it.
It's awesome. And he's rejigged versions of the older stuff.
Yeah.
Is strong, too.
Yeah.
In the same way that if you listen to his anthology album that just came out where he re-recorded with those guys,
mm-hmm.
The redone versions of, like, the Christine theme, woo!
Yeah.
It's so freaking good.
It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was blown away, and I hope that he continues to score movies. I don't need him directing any more movies. I want him to continue.
No, it's
to
cool.
score.
Just keep scoring.
Keep scoring with his son and his godson. I think they're fantastic. Yeah.
And if he wants to pitch in the ways that he did with this, where, like, he's a little bit of a consultant, and I don't know if he's a producer on this.
He might be, but that's just because...
It's like an in-name-only
kind of thing. In-name-only
kind
of thing.
In-title-only, yeah.
Well, right. I don't know. Who knows? The Akkad's could just
who knows? But anyway, I hope he's involved again. There's rumblings of a Prince of Darkness TV show.
Prince of Darkness TV show, and he's going to be doing the score for Creepshow.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that official?
Didn't he just, like, spoil it in an interview?
I think he's doing
the main theme.
He's doing a theme for Shudder, for a show.
Oh, that's right.
So he didn't
right.
officially say, I think it's probably going to be
Creepshow. It's got to be Creepshow.
But, or maybe it's the Prince of Darkness show.
They're bringing in a lot of cool talent for Creepshow, but let's not get sidetracked.
Anyway, so Carpenter is awesome. He's a rock star, seriously. We love him. Anyway, so here's where we get... Oh, boy. So Allison catches up to Hawkins and Dr. Sartan, who is awoken from his unconsciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And... This is where things get weird for me, okay? We've just gotten out of a sequence of things that... Actually, every scene we've talked about here works for me for the most part.
Yeah.
Up until this point. The Sartan twist is basically Sartan is a fucking nutball. And he's obsessed with Michael. He's basically Dark Loomis, right?
Dark Loomis.
In the same way that Loomis was obsessed with Michael from a perspective of the fact that he knew he was pure evil and had to be destroyed, Sartan is obsessed with the fact that he's pure evil... and wants to learn what that means and what that is and what that feels like.
And what that feels like, yeah.
And so Sartan kills the shit out of Will Patton.
Yeah.
Stabs him like 4,000 times.
Yeah.
And then goofily wears the mask.
I mean, to be honest, if it was in a different movie, like, I'd be laughing.
If this
was like,
in Halloween 6.
I'd be still laughing, but.
This is Halloween 6.
Yeah.
I'd be all for it.
Yeah, because the movie's weird as hell anyway.
Yeah.
This movie's not really.
No.
This is something straight out of the zombie movies.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or Halloween 6.
Or Halloween 6, yes.
And it's kind of it's kind of a triple threat of issues for me. Because one, kind of a waste of Will Patton, to be honest with you.
I thought so too,
I like Will Patton. I like the Sheriff Brackett character.
Uh-huh.
And I would have liked to have seen, if they're going to do a sequel, we'll get into this. I don't want the Strodes to come back.
Me neither.
But having a character or two carry over would be nice. And his character would have been nice to see continue on. Especially since they built in a legacy with him having been there the first night too.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. So it's a bit of a waste of Will Patton. Second, it's a weird, like, bizarre go-around way to get Michael Myers to Laurie Strode's house. It's so overly complicated. Like, there's so many... In the same way that Allison could have just dropped the goddamn cell phone mm-hmm. instead of pudding, this is the pudding, right? This is... It's
one of those things where I think it's like, yeah, they overthink it. Like the cell phone thing where you're just like, yeah, just drop it. Yeah. Just drop the cell phone. Just have him follow someone.
Follow Allison.
Yeah, follow... We know he can drive...
Yeah.
Have him follow someone in a car.
Have him, okay, he chased down Allison, and he's chased
her. She got away.
Now. Yeah, and now he's following her. She happens to be going there because she knows it's safe, and he happens to be following her. And then he goes, oh, this is Laurie's house.
But this, yeah, the Sartan is his name.
Sartan. Which is also so stupid.
It's so stupid. Yeah, this is where my issues arise with this movie is. It feels like... This is where it starts to feel like two different movies. That Dark Loomis idea is kind of a cool idea.
In concept, love it.
Yeah, me too. And it makes... But, like, that's an idea to explore in a whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this feels like they jammed the Laurie movie and the Dr. Sartan movie together.
Kind of, right?
It does not... Loomis and Laurie intertwine. This is, like, jammed together.
Yeah. Like, well, and I even like the idea, too, of I'm fine with Michael Myers just killing Sartan.
Right.
As Sartan's like, say something, please. Because it's another point made of, no.
Yeah.
He's not.
He's not going to do it.
No.
He's not going to do what you want him to do.
No.
And that goes back to kind of, yeah, where we talked about a little bit with like the fate of these two characters. Yeah. And then the filmmakers being like, no, like there's no fate here. It's just Michael.
He's a
Michael
monster.
Killing. And, no... But like it goes back to that, like where Michael's like, I'm going to do what you want me to do. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to kill.
Yeah.
So it feels like that. But you're right. The Sartan character is just so weirdly, like it just feels shoehorned or just unexplored in a lot of ways. Because we forget about him for half the movie. He shows back up.
It either needed a lot more time to breathe or it needed to be excised.
Yeah.
One or the other.
Yeah. And honestly, my vote would have been to excise.
Yes.
My vote would have maybe been to... put a scene or two, take a scene or two away from the podcasters.
Mm-hmm.
Give a scene to him early on where like we just see him for a minute. He's obsessed with Michael and he helps break him out. And then Michael kills him early.
That would have been fine.
Yeah, I've been fine with that.
Yeah.
Like maybe he's part of the reason. Maybe he dies on the bus.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
But however, should Michael have squashed his head like a grape?
Yeah, that's...
That was a Rob Zombie death. I'm sorry.
Rob Zombie death for a Rob Zombie character, yeah.
It was so cartoony.
I laughed.
Was that entire character, like, their reference to the Rob Zombie movies? Was that the reference? Was Sartan?
It had to be either that or the head stop, or maybe one of the hillbillies we saw. But it was so... And that's what I was talking about with the inconsistent violence. And maybe that's why I lumped together that knife through the throat, is because a couple of the kills seem just really over the top here.
Yeah.
And that one, though, is the main offender. It's stupid, honestly. He like explodes his head like a pumpkin. Like he's stepping
it
on a pumpkin.
Squashes like a cartoon.
I could not believe they did that. Very, very stupid. Have I crept on that part of
it's dumb.
I'm
sorry.
It's dumb and it hurts the movie overall.
I'm fine with him stomping the head. Mm-hmm. And it seems like it's a small thing.
Yeah.
But like the effect and like the it's so cartoony.
Yeah.
It just didn't it didn't fit the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
Anyway, so finally, Michael makes it there. We get our big kind of blowout at Laurie's house, which is all rigged up. Poor Toby Huss gets killed.
He does.
Poor sap. Luckily, it's not overly brutal. It's pretty quick.
Yeah.
And Laurie does. There's a cool sequence where Laurie's hunting Michael through the house. Feels very old school Halloween.
Tables have turned. She's the hunter.
I love that.
I
love that she's sweeping and clearing each room too. I love that concept of She hits a room. He's not in there. She locks it down. Yeah. So she's basically squishing him into one area of the house.
She does some things that maybe are questionable from a
sure
intelligence standpoint, but I think that's one of those things where like it was cool enough where
yeah
I forgave a lot of it. Like sometimes I can give up realism for like stuff I think is cool.
Yeah, and I can buy that her adrenaline is so high because this is 40 years of
yeah
like leading to this moment for her.
Yeah.
Like her life has been defined by what's happening right now. That's right. A lot of pressure. So I can deal with it. There's a couple really cool callbacks during this sequence of events at Lori's house. One, her falling off the balcony and being gone.
God, that was good.
Is the radish. Oh, my God.
The crowd cheered at that part.
They should.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are two parts they cheered at, and this third attic is really good, too.
It's rousing.
Honestly, as we go back over this, the Sartan stuff is the stuff that really is the hangout for
That's
me.
The one problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then there's a bit right towards the end where she starts appearing out of the shadow behind
yeah
him, like he did in the original, which
yes
I thought was really cool. And there's also, I should say, a really cool bit with Karen where she's like,
that's the other part of the
crowd. I can't do it. I can't do it.
Yeah.
And he's like, you can see him with it. Once again, the gears are turning. He's like, sweet, I'm going down.
Yeah.
And then he goes down and she's like, fuck you.
Yeah. Oh, that's the other part of the crowd. Like, lost
that's
it.
A rousing.
It's kind of a fun movie to watch with the crowd.
Yeah,
too,
for
by
sure.
The way. Yeah. If they're well behaved.
But it turns out the basement's a trap, right? That it wasn't
yes
ever meant to like fortify for them. It was more meant for a trap for Michael. They get him down there. And they roast his ass. Or do they, I guess. I mean, he's down there when it starts on fire. We don't see him down there the second shot.
We see, and then
we hear him breathing after the credits
the
are
credits
over.
Now, we should talk about how I thought it was going to end and how you read it was going to end.
And they get in a truck and escape.
They get in the truck and escape. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Kind of almost a callback to like Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Weirdly enough, right?
Yeah, but they're a happier ending because instead of screaming,
they're
like,
all pretty,
they've kind of accepted their fate.
Yeah.
But
so,
but they're happy together.
So there was a test screening of this movie that did or did not happen depending on who you asked. There was a bunch of like controversy about
right
it and stuff. Remember all that?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And apparently this was the ending. Now I don't know this for sure, but this is according to some people I've read that were there for the test screening.
Okay.
Basically the stuff plays out the same, but it ends in the front yard of the house where Toby Huss was killed. The ladies basically kick, like, Lori's been stabbed, but it's a little bit more mortal than it is in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It seems more mortal, like a she's going to die from it.
Right.
And they basically beat the ever-loving shit out of Michael with bats, mm-hmm, whatever they can get their hands on.
Like a death proof.
Yes, to the point where yeah he's a crumpled mess in the front yard.
Yeah.
They escape to the truck. Lori's riding the backseat of the truck in between her daughter and her granddaughter, and basically she's bleeding to death and fading out. Well, she doesn't die,
mm-hmm,
but as the movie ends, it's like Shane, right? Go
yeah
either way. And then we cut back to Michael, who's like crawled his way up onto the front porch and is sitting slumped on the front porch of the house next to a burning jack-o'-lantern. And he's basically doing the same thing where he's like laying there breathing heavy and like bleeding profusely.
Now, can I?
That's kind of sweet.
It's great. And now can I maybe, now that we've gone through this, can
yeah
now maybe I see why they wrote in him getting apprehended later? Or later that night at the beginning of the movie. Like what I'm thinking is like he's been shot. He's wounded.
His fingers are blown off.
His fingers are blown off. And like later that night, they find him and he's kind of defeated and bleeding. And Loomis is going to finish him off.
Mm-hmm.
The guy stops him. They arrest him.
Right.
So maybe that, like that original ending kind of fits in with that. Maybe that's why they had that in there.
Yeah.
Him getting apprehended. It's like, no, he's not going to get apprehended this time. He's going to die.
He's going to die. Yeah.
So maybe I can stick up. I still prefer not seeing it at all, I think, but maybe I see what they were going for.
Yeah.
If that's the case.
Yeah. I
and
I
I'm
dig
kind
the
of,
idea of this alternate ending. I have to
yeah
see it to judge it really.
Right.
I like the idea on paper of what it
oh
is.
The alternate ending. Yeah. I like it. I like it too. I kind of like the finality of it, but I'm okay with the ending we get.
Sure.
As long as
there's
we never
be a sequel.
As long as we never see the Strodes again.
We can't, and not only can we not see the Strodes again.
Yeah.
The Strodes cannot find out Michael is back.
Back alive. No.
Because unless they somehow pull the, you know, however many years after and Lori's passed away at this
mm-hmm
point or whatever, and it's Karen and Allison dealing with it, I'd
yeah
be fine with that. But Lori can't be involved.
Lori cannot
all
be involved. This is why Resurrection sucks so much.
Yes. Yes.
Because, and it's funny, this and H2O have a lot in common.
They do.
And this movie's getting a lot of credit, I think, for stuff that H2O has done.
It's true.
But I think they both do it well, so I don't want to like crap on.
And H2O has its own set of issues, too.
H2O has its own. Yeah, they weirdly have like different issues.
They do.
Yeah,
yes.
Like one is too slight and the other has got a lot going on.
Yes.
This one's got a lot going on.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, the ending of H2O is still my favorite.
The ending of H2O
is so sweet.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And That's why the beginning of Resurrection sucks so much. It's yes, because it you get that closure with Laurie, and then you don't.
It's undone.
It sucks.
No, it does. I don't want to rank this with the other ones yet, because honestly, it's too hard to do. I'll say this. It's okay. In my top five. Probably in my top three.
That's kind of where... Okay, are we including Halloween 3? Are we including all Halloweens? Let's include all.
It's... If I'm including them all, it's definitely in my top five, maybe in my top three. That's kind of where I'm at.
That's kind of... I'm kind of with you. I've got 1 and 3 as my 1, 2.
This is a better movie than 4, 5, and 6. I'm going to throw that out there right
yes.
now. And I prefer it over Resurrection.
Yes.
And I prefer it over the zombie films.
Yeah, I like Halloween 2 a little better than you do, but I like this one better.
Better, right?
Zombie.
Yeah.
It's a better movie.
Sure.
It's not as shaggy and messy.
Yeah. And this is a better movie than H2O overall. But there are a couple moments in H2O that work really well for me. It's hard. That's, in my mind, has always been the definitive trilogy is 1, 2, H2O.
Yeah.
So it was always going to be hard. This is better than Halloween 2. But
yeah, I think so too.
It was always going to be hard for me to rewrite my own headcanon and...
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I guess it doesn't need to do that to be a better movie.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I love Halloween 3.
Yeah, me too.
So this is in the top five, maybe in the top three. We'll see.
Okay.
I'm not ready to fully commit yet.
Okay. I got 10 minutes left here, by the way. I told my brother I'd go see Venom with him tonight.
What time is the movie?
9 o'clock.
Okay, cool.
So yeah. I got time. I just told him I
just want to make sure we're not.
So, hey, next episode, I'll be back with my review of Venom.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Anyway, no. So, but I do want to, touch on a couple other things too, but I think we're in the same boat. I am flipping. Oh, I wanted to go back to Halloween 3 for a second. So we kind of hinted at where we want the franchise to go from here, what we don't want to see. We don't want to see any more Strodes. Do we? I can get away with maybe seeing the granddaughter.
I'd be fine with that. I don't want to. Let's be honest. Michael Myers is going to be back. They're not doing another Halloween without Michael Myers.
Yeah, I've seen people float out the idea of going back to the anthology.
It's not
going to
happen at this point. That is done. Yep. And that's fine. What do I want from it? I guess I don't know.
I don't know either.
And that's the tough thing is I don't know what you do with this. I mean, on one hand, I almost want them to the problem with inherent with the plot of this movie is Michael was locked up all that time. You can't go back and like tell a different Michael Myers story from before this movie happened.
Yeah.
Whereas with like the H2O continuity, you could, because he could have done anything over the course of those 20 years.
Right.
That makes it tricky. I don't know. I guess I'm fine with them bringing the granddaughter back. But there has to be a reason. It has to be more than just a slasher movie. There's got to be something, some sort of thrust and a reason for why we're watching this story again.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that is yet.
Yeah, he's alive, basically.
He is alive.
I mean, that felt like a studio mandated ending, but it was one that worked for me. Mm-hmm.
And they said they know what they want to do with the sequel. So
they have said that?
They have said that they were originally planning on doing two movies, and they decided, let's make one movie.
Green and McBride?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really? Interesting. Yes. Okay.
They have a second movie that they know what they want to do with.
I'm wondering if we're going to follow Andy Matichek.
She's holding the knife at the end. There's something there.
She is holding the knife at the end.
I don't think they're hinting at her being a killer.
No, I think they're hinting
at... It's a passing of the torch.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think it's going to be focused on her, then.
Cool.
I think that's... And I'm okay with it.
I'm fine with it.
But I don't... Yeah, I'm with you. Laurie can't know.
And I don't want it to just be another Michael Myers shows up and is killing off her friends. There's got to be some...
Laurie might need to pass away.
That's fine.
Yeah, I'm fine with that, too.
But there's got to be something more to it than just Michael's back, it's Halloween, and now he's going to kill more teenagers. There's got to be something...
That's the thing with having her in it, though, if they're going with the Michael as a killing machine, is like, how do you get them back together?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I mean, because it would feel maybe corny for her to be chasing down Michael Myers after he went missing.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be kind of cool.
Like a hunt movie? Like she goes back to the house and like he's in the woods and stuff, and like she like chases him down.
Well, what if she's like what if they're like killings start popping up across the country that seem like they could be him?
Could be Michael.
And so maybe it's not even her. Maybe another character starts trying to track down.
Yeah.
She teams up with Paul Rudd.
Have Danny McBride and Paul Rudd worked together? I'm sure they have. Yeah. Oh yeah, they've been in Apatow movies together like a million times. Yeah.
Good stuff. Anyway, I think we both enjoyed Halloween quite a bit. Our biggest issue, it sounds like, honestly, now that I'm like...
Is Sartan. We're certain on Sartan.
He's a problem.
Oh, yeah, a couple more questions for you, though.
Sure.
This movie made $77 million.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah. Like, why?
Because people are ready for horror's big right now.
Yes.
It's just in the ether, and that's just ebbs and flows naturally. It happens. But we're reaching a point, everything else, every other type of genre of entertainment, we're going through nostalgia waves, right?
Yeah.
Has already gone through them.
Right.
We had a Transformers movie, a bunch of Transformers movies. We had G.I. Joe movies. We had,
right.
You know, stuff based on cartoons, stuff based on video games. We're dealing with nostalgia stuff, and I think we finally hit a point where people are ready to watch, people are ready for some horror comfort food.
Yeah.
Like, the indie stuff's been great. Mm-hmm. We've received some really cool artsy horror movies. We've even received some really cool mainstream horror movies.
Yeah.
And those three things kind of together, the indie stuff, the mainstream stuff, has kind of built up the genre again as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're ready for elevated versions. Not even elevated versions. We're ready for, like, professionally made with care versions of things that we saw turn into schlock fests.
Right.
Does that make sense?
No, totally. And I do want to give, I want to give Blumhouse a lot of credit.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. I think I have some issues with maybe some of their, but I don't know what they did. I'm just kind of.
The Gallows was bad.
Yeah. Oh yeah. But I mean, I just meant with the movie itself, like
yeah,
the ending.
I do too. Yeah.
Like the ending, I feel like that was something Blumhouse said.
Yes.
Yeah. We got to have a sequel for, but that's just me speculating too.
Yeah.
So I don't know that for sure, but, their promotion of this movie was phenomenal.
Yep.
Them getting Jamie Lee Curtis back in the fold,
yep,
was a huge get.
Carpenter.
But that is like the big one for me,
honestly,
because people know Halloween, people know John Carpenter.
Well, and here's the thing. So if you get John Carpenter, you get a decent chunk of the mainstream going, wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
And you definitely get the horror fans going, wow, that's cool. You get Jamie Lee, you get the mainstream going, oh shit, she's back. That's a, so they captured.
Yes.
They knew how to capture people, and they did it. But they didn't. It didn't feel like they were doing any of that purely to get butts in seats. It felt like they were doing it because they wanted to do a good job.
It didn't feel like pandering at all.
No.
To me, and that was
even Nick Castle didn't feel like pandering.
No, I was watching, and I watched all like the, well, up until I'm like no more. But all the behind the scenes stuff,
yeah,
all the interview promotional materials, yeah, they put out, and I thought this was fantastic. And like Carpenter be Carpenter.
Yeah.
They just let Carpenter go. That was fantastic.
So good.
His press tour was awesome.
So sweet.
And so was Jamie Lee. So they are, yeah, kind of masters at that. But like, I have my wife asking me about like going to see this. She wanted to see it after everything.
See, that's something.
They have, Blumhouse has something there where they hit outside, mm-hmm, of just horror fans.
Real quick, if Blumhouse could grab one more franchise right now, what would it be? What would you want them to,
I'm kind of
to
big
mess
on
with?
This, I'm kind of big on this LeBron, Friday the 13th, so not that one.
I would want Blumhouse to grab Jordan Peele and Candyman ASAP.
That Candyman one?
Yep.
I want them, I want that Freddy movie. I want that Freddy movie done by the guy that did Annabelle Creation.
There you go.
But I don't necessarily know if they need like that. He's like with James Wan and stuff. So
I want my Freddy movie, my new Nightmare on Elm Street movie.
What's that one?
With a different dream demon.
Oh, that's right.
Where we talked about this. I don't think we talked about that on the show, but we won't get into it right
what
now.
Are the other ones? Hellraiser and
Hellraiser.
Oh, I would honestly no. Get Clive back in. Make me.
Make a new Hellraiser?
Use him as they like they use with Carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? They might do it because they've got McFarlane. They've got Todd running around. Give me a Blumhouse Clive Barker Hellraiser.
There you go.
And like, but like, let's explore some weirder stuff. Like, let's have Pinhead in it, but let's let Clive get a little weirder
too. Let's get weird.
Yeah.
Let's get more into some Frank. Anyway. All right.
Yeah.
Cool. Anything else?
No, I think that's it, right?
Cool, man. Well, let's get you out of here so you can go see Venom. Thank you guys for listening so much. We really appreciate it. And don't forget, rate and review us on iTunes. Big thanks to John Morrell for our music. Big thanks to Mr. Greg Long for all of our art.
Yeah.
Who you'll be seeing Venom with me very soon. and we will see you guys on our next episode. We don't know what we're doing yet. It will not be Halloween.
Yeah, do you want to pick something?
Okay. We'll announce it on Twitter and Facebook.
Okay.
You got places to be, buddy. Yeah, I want to sit here and struggle trying to figure out what we're going to watch.
Okay.
Not a slasher, because we've been doing a lot of slasher lately.
No, we got to move on from, we did a month full of Halloween stuff.
We did a month full of Halloween stuff, so we'll take a break from the slasher stuff for the time being.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have anything necessarily in mind at the moment.
It's fun doing a new movie, too.
It was cool to do a new movie. Yeah,
cool.
I enjoy doing that every once in a while.
Yeah.
So we'll figure it out, and we will post it. We'll make sure we do that soon so that you guys have time to see it. But anyway, thanks for listening.
Yeah, bye-bye, man and woman.